Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store or via the app. A Bosch.
Welcome everyone to the Men's Room podcast. Myself, Adi Oladipo, the wonderful, childishly dressed Rory Jennings.
Mate, you're wearing. I don't even know what I'm wearing. I'm wearing tracksuit bottoms. Anybody listening to this? I'm just going to describe what Adi Oladipo is wearing.
Feel free, and I'll try and describe the patch on Rory's chest.
You're wearing some sort of MC Hammer type pantaloon.
That's quite good.
With a matching hoodie. Like this is unacceptable. To get
Rory
dressed
Jennings
to be on the tube
is
like
wearing
that.
Socks with a plant tree printed on them.
Yeah, a statement sock, though. A
statement sock, he calls it. Anyway, let's talk about our statement subject. Okay. Our number one subject, which is sport. Yes. Obviously, it's a subject that's dear to our hearts. We love it. It causes us a lot of pain. For me, it's made me lose my hair.
Yes.
It's really... What got you into sport, Rory?
It was always the be all and end all for me from being very young. It was always my reason. You know, like my purpose in life.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, whatever I was doing.
How young are we talking? What are we talking
really
about?
Young. Whatever, I'd say from 6, 7, whatever I was doing, it was never better than being in my flats playing football. That was always what I wanted to do. There was a cage in my estate, and whatever else I was possibly doing, even really good things. Yeah. Like my mum tried, do you know what I mean? She'd take me to Butlin, she'd take me to Centre Park, she'd do the great stuff. But it was never better than being in the cage in my estate playing World Cup, playing World Cup doubles, playing Wembley, playing 60 seconds, playing heads and body. Like,
you played 60 seconds
all
as well.
The time. I was great.
Do they still exist, those things? I'd love to go around and see if Wembley, World Cup, and 60 seconds still exist.
It has to.
I hope so.
It has
to. Cages don't exist as much anymore.
No.
I mean, you still see them, but you're right. I mean, when I go back to my mum's area, we grew up in Plasto, like there were cages everywhere and places where you could just literally put your school jacket down, set up 2 goals and that's it, you're on.
But I don't think kids necessarily play like that. Like for me, it was always very much, as soon as I had the free time, it would be like run around the estate, buzz on certain people's, buzz on their buzzers, ask if they're coming out to play. Are they allowed out? Yeah. If they aren't allowed out, that's fine, but can we borrow the ball? we need to borrow the ball. So that was always the purpose. Then play football until you can't see, until the dark has come in so intensely that you cannot see anymore. All the lights go off.
It's crazy how my mum used to get so upset. And now as I'm older, I understand, because I used to play out until, obviously in the winter, until it got dark and it would get dark early.
Can't see.
And she would go mental. Mm. And obviously no mobile phones back then. She's not trying to call you. And I'm like, mum, I'm out playing football. Mm. But I wouldn't understand why she was so angry. But that was my thing as well.
But I don't think kids do that anymore, because I don't think that they have to.
What do you mean?
Well, when we were young, the option was hang out with your mates in the flats, play football. I mean, you could play other things. You play run out, you play 40-40 or whatever, but
knock down ginger.
A bit of that as well, but you generally play in football. Whereas now I don't think that you have to, because there's so much else going on. Yeah. For me, in the flats, it was the boys in the flats were the ones, don't get me wrong, a couple of fellas from an estate called Templar House would pop over and whatever, but it was generally the crew that we had was what we had.
Yeah.
Whereas now, people from school who live in a totally different part of the country or friends from around the world, they can all be in their bedrooms playing on these computer games, playing FIFA against the world.
Yeah.
They don't have to hang out with their mates in the area. Yeah. I'd like which is a positive, but also a negative.
It's weird. I'd like to think that even if that did exist in our time, I still would have played out. I would have as well, because I remember like sort of getting into my teens and maybe even before that, 11, 12, you know, computer consoles were coming out, you know, Sega Mega Drive, Nintendo 64.
Oh, Alex the Kid.
Yeah. So they were, but I still always wanted to do was play sport. Was it just football for you? Because for me,
it was anything. Okay, it was anything. Were you the same?
Yeah, athletics, basketball, cricket, anything in school, badminton, table tennis, anything.
Anything competitive.
Yeah.
Anything competitive and active and fun and a bit of Jeopardy, anything like that was always the move. But that's what I wanted to do all the time.
Was you ever close to being a footballer?
No, I was never good enough.
Didn't get to any level?
Absolutely not. No conversation, no trial. You know, everybody's had trials.
Can I be honest? That happened with me.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going to lie.
Nothing.
I thought I was really close. Spurs.
Really?
Yeah, really close. So in my school, we had a guy called, my year was a very good year, where Trezor Candle.
Yeah.
Played for Leeds.
Yeah.
Millwall, Charlton, Alton Fairwell, Tottenham.
Yeah, Tottenham, yeah.
England, the 21. And then it was me. I remember I was the one that got into Essex schools at like under 14s, under 15s, before anyone. So that was the big thing.
Mm.
Get into Essex schools. And our Essex schools team at the time was John Terry was centre back.
Yeah, well, it was that team, Senrab.
Yeah.
It was the best five-a-side team I've ever seen of children.
Greatest.
Wasn't it J. Lloyd Samuel?
Yep.
John Terry. Jermaine Defoe.
Bobby Zamora was around.
Bobby Zamora. Yeah. And was it Muzzy Izzet?
Might have been Muzzy Izzet who went to play for Colchester.
They played for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Played for Chelsea and Leicester. Yeah.
Oh, no. Kemi Izzet. His brother. So Muzzy was the older one. Kemi Izzet was our age.
Right.
He went to Colchester.
No, but that five-a-side team, can you believe it? They're a team of children and they all went on not only to be like professional footballers, not only to be Premier League footballers, but to quite often be the very best at what they did. All in the same five-a-side team. It's sensational.
It's sensational. And I was in Essex with a lot of those.
Right.
So you just think you're going to make it. You think, oh, you're going to make it. Then I was there with them lot. And then ultimately, I guess as you get older, you just really weren't good enough. But you like to make excuses like, oh, no, my mum didn't let me play. Just wasn't good enough. But I really thought I was going to be a footballer. That was it. You're going to be a footballer.
No, I was never going to be a footballer.
No.
But I always thoroughly loved. And it's still the case. Like my Twitter bio, still to this day, is at my happiest on a football pitch.
It's crazy when I've not kicked a football 15 years.
I get withdrawal
and
symptoms if I don't play.
And you play football?
All the time.
Two, three times a week?
If I can. I never don't play. It's the one invite that I'm really up for. You know, if you invite me to the pub or people invite me to their birth, I probably don't want to go. Mm. If you invite me to play football, I'll go anyway. Like somebody could phone me up and go, Roy, do you want to play football on Tuesday night in Beckenham? And all right, that's about 50 miles from my house, but yes.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? Well, I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
Who was your biggest first sporting heroes? It doesn't have to be football. Like mine, I'm trying to think of who was larger than life for me in sport, and it wasn't a footballer at first.
Go on.
Mike Tyson, I think. In my household, just seeing this man, beast, monster. I think that was the first person. I was like, jeez, who's that? Because I was only 5 or 6 when he became sort of world champion. I remember thinking, who is this 21-year-old? I didn't even know his age, actually. That's a lie. But I remember thinking, who is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was probably that first one.
I remember always sporting events were always so pivotal in my house. So I lived with my grandmother and granddad.
Mm.
He died when I was quite young, but I vaguely remember certain things revolving around him, revolving around sport. So the 1990 World Cup, I remember that England were playing this team called Cameroon. And I thought, wow, that's saying well cool. I off support them. And I remember him going, no, mate, what are you doing? Like, of course you don't. Yeah. I was like, okay, sorry. Yeah,
Roger Miller in that lot.
Yeah, dancing by the corner flag. I was like, that was great. I also, do you know the other sporting event that I remember completely like capturing my granddad? My granddad wasn't a good man, really. But we bonded over sport in a weird way. But I remember him being totally captivated and kind of dominating the flat. Do you remember the Ben Eubank fight at Old Trafford? I remember that being like a spectacle in my house.
Yeah.
And everything sort of revolving around that.
I just felt, and it probably is wrong and someone's probably going to correct me, but I just felt like sport was always on. Like I would watch Grandstand for 5 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
A Grandstand would start at 12 o'clock and it'll give you the whole schedule. I've read six, bit of rugby, bit of this, but all the way until 5, 6. Yeah, I remember thinking, that's me sorted.
Yeah.
5 hours of sport. And I don't know if that happens, especially not on terrestrial TV anymore. I don't think you get that.
No, I don't think you do.
You know?
I would say that, you know, look, both of us, we're sitting here recording a podcast for Talk Sport. Sport and football in particular saved my life, I would say. I would say that nothing has been more important to me that isn't related to me than football.
Agreed.
It gave me a purpose when I was young.
Wow.
It gave me a purpose when I was young in terms of playing. It gave me a belief system in terms of following Chelsea. It gave me something to commit to. And then as I've got older, it's given me a career.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Football has been the, you know, if you do those pillars in your life, those pillars that support you.
Sport is probably the biggest pillar.
And football in particular.
Football 100%.
Made me a person.
Yeah, like me and you always laugh when, you know, we're lucky. Some like in TalkSport Towers, we get to see Darren Bent and Gabby and others. Mm. And me and Rory always lap up Darren Bent's conversations. And we're, oh my God, Darren Bent's coming to have a conversation with us. And we used to watch him. Mm. Watch him week in, week out, scoring goals, right? You know, part of the 100 Premier League goal scoring club. And he'll give us some amazing stories. And we're like, more. I could listen
to that all day.
All day.
Do you know who, obviously, there was a time when we used to do a show with Anton Ferdinand.
Yeah.
And I, you know, he's a wonderful bloke, great talker. I love being around him. But you know, when he would just tell me little stories, tiny little insights into, like he told me something that's sort of really stayed with me forever, and it will forever. You know, when we talk about football and we talk about the game and we love the game, realistically, you and I, we have no real understanding of what it must be like to be in the dressing room of a semi-final or whatever.
No, not a clue. And, but we like to think we do.
Yeah.
Like fans like to think they do, but they don't.
But we don't.
No.
And we can't.
No.
But he told me this thing and I just thought, wow, that's so amazing. He told me that he was playing with his brother, playing centre half with his brother. And he said that he learnt more in that moment than he ever did as a professional at any other time. He said that his brother went mad at him, screaming, Anton, like furious. So I just looked over, I'm all right, Rio, you know, what's going on? I'm fine. Rio went to him, Anton, 1 yard. And what? It's like, take 1 second. Anton went, all right. Took 1 yard. Rio went, perfect. You're like, hang on a minute. Is that the level? Yeah. Is that the precision?
Why was I not there?
1 yard.
So I wasn't there for that conversation.
Yeah. So it's an amazing insight, isn't it?
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
That is crazy.
And those sorts of things. 1 yard. Anton, he stood up telling me the story. He was like, okay. Went like that. Just sort of shifted. Yeah. And then Rio's gone, right. Totally changed. That's perfect. How's that? But you know, that's how him and Vidic must have communicated.
Yeah.
It must be that level of precision.
No, like I read a lot of autobiographies from sort of sports stars, and they go as deep as that in there.
Yeah,
like at the very, very highest level, that the ones that separate the very, very good to the elite.
Mm.
It literally is just that, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a matter of inches between those two.
Yeah, yeah,
it's insane. And I'm a big Michael Johnson fan. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, 400
meter
Canadian.
No, American.
Oh.
Yeah, American. You might be talking about Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson, sorry, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the drug cheat. Michael Johnson didn't take no drugs, by the way. And he just talks about the finest margins.
Mm.
Like, that. Like if everything, you're quite superstitious, I think, sometimes, but he says if everything isn't correct, it's not going to be what it needs to be to actually get a world record and stuff.
That was in, I read Paul Gascoigne's autobiography, and there's a story about him. He's put on a pair of shorts. He's gone, his shorts are all wrong. I can't play in these shorts. Giving them to the kit man. We're going to have to sort these out. The kit man went, no problem, I'll go and change them. Walked out, didn't have any others. Just stood outside the door for a couple of minutes. Walked back in, he went, I got your brand new pair. He put them on, he went, oh, fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, I'm ready to play now. Yeah. But I think that everybody can do that. Do you ever think with sport and the dedication and devotion that we have to show to it, have you ever seen a more destructive side? Have you seen it have a bad impact on anyone? You know, you've known people who have nearly been to the very top of the game. It's difficult, isn't it, when you get that close?
I think when you touch it, yeah. Hopefully,
do you remember Michael Johnson, who played for Man City?
Michael Johnson's a good one.
Do you remember when
Michael
he spoke Johnson, about it?
Yeah, and he's a state agent now, Michael Johnson. But I hopefully won't mind me talking about him. Alton, obviously, look, we were very close growing up.
Who, like, sorry?
Alton Fairwell.
Right. Are you very Tottenham? Close.
Yeah, Tottenham. So we literally lived next door to each other growing up. So I've always seen his journey, and it's always me and his journey in football has been mirrored. He made it. I remember being very, very proud of him. Made it, bought a nice house in Chigwell, nice car, etc. It's funny because we're exactly the same size. So every time we used to go raving, I used to wear his clothes.
Right.
Just because I wanted,
he had loads
of clothes. Yeah, all the latest Gucci, Prada, whatever. And
Prada pumps.
Hundreds of them. He literally had hundreds.
Little red bit in the back.
Yeah, hundreds of them. And he got injured, a load of injuries. And basically, it literally was declined from like 24 onwards. He was almost like a child prodigy. And after that, it just fell off. And I remember seeing how it affected him. Someone that's tasted it. Someone that's been there. Yeah. You know, England under 21s. He's been on the Tottenham bench. He's played against Henry. I've been there to see him against Liverpool. And for it to kind of just drop off, and what it's done for him mentally, where obviously the money's not going to be the same, whatever he's earning now, it's not going to be the same as when he was a Premier League footballer. So you see everyone, you see the nice side of it, but I've seen the bad side of it and what it did to him mentally and how it's affected him even now. And we're same age, so he's 41. And that was hard, watching him have those highs, and we all enjoyed it. Like, one thing about him, he brought all of us in.
Yeah.
All the latest clubs, guys, it's on me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holidays, guys, it's on me. I've got everything.
Love that.
And for him then, for it to just drop off like that. And then you see the friends drop off as well. You know, you sort of see the hangers-on eventually disappear when the cars go and the money goes. And he struggled a lot.
Really?
There's no two ways about it. And I think we struggled with him.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing someone that you know is good enough and has been there.
And he's proved he's good enough.
Proved he's good enough. And it just...
Circumstance,
yeah.
Mm. I've seen a destructive side. Destructive is perhaps too strong a word, but I've seen a troubling side more on the terraces, more fans. Mm. Like, in terms of the commitment that you have to display going to football, I've seen that have a detrimental impact on people in terms of their private life.
You were home and away for years with Chelsea.
Yeah.
Was it okay for you because you were younger? Like, would you get away with it doing it now? Would your wife? No, she wouldn't accept it.
No. Okay, yeah. It would be impossible.
But it's funny you say it's impossible. There are people that do it, right?
Yes, but I feel like they do it to the detriment of their family. And some cases means it's not necessarily the detriment of the family. The family doesn't exist because of the commitment to football. Mm. So I have a very good friend, like a really good mate of mine. But he went through a spell of not missing a home, away or European game. For I think it's about 14 years.
Jeez.
To a level when I remember when I had my stag do, on the Sunday of the stag, we were in Seville. On the Sunday of the stag, Chelsea played Wolves in the cup. Wolves weren't a Premier League team at the time. We had them in the cup. Obviously, on the stag, did a lot of Chelsea fans. He went home early from the stag to go to fly into Birmingham to go to Wolverhampton. I was like, mate, why don't you miss it? All your mates are here.
Yeah.
All your mates are here. We're in Spain. We've got a day planned. I think we were going to watch Seville play Eibar that night. Just stay. He's like, no, I've got to go to the game. You're like, it's a compulsion. It's impossible for him to not go to that game. Mm. And I think that, that's obsession, isn't it?
Yeah. That's obsession. And it's bad because it's bad for two ways. For him, obviously, look, if it's his thing that he loves and enjoys, good luck to him, right? I mean, there are other worst things you can love and enjoy that
But it all goes, the thing that you're alluding to there, there is also that. At football. I feel like there is also an epidemic of drink and drugs at football.
Yeah.
There is
big
also,
time, by the way.
Yeah.
Massively. I remember for TalkSport, I was doing a lot of the Euros and we're on Wembley Way. And some of the games are early and you're seeing people getting on, getting tanked up, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And obviously there's no drinks. I think they banned it or something. So they're going to Tesco's and literally buying a case.
But I remember doing that. Yeah. It feels like a lifetime ago now for me. Like it feels like a different person.
Yeah.
But I remember Chelsea were playing away at Borough.
Why does the two exist out of interest? Like I've gone to football matches and I'm not a heavy drinker, but I have a drink, but I never think of, I want to get a drink. I just want to go and watch football. Why do the two exist? Why do people get
there is a
up?
Direct relationship between.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time football is attractive to people who enjoy pub culture. Mm. And therefore the two go hand in hand because the people that are going to the game like to be in the pub.
Yeah. Same with boxing fans, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the same. I think they're the same fan base.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember going, so if Chelsea were playing away at Borough, for example, I remember going there, kickoff at 3, we'd be getting a train out of Euston or King, wherever it was. We'd be getting a train out of King's Cross up to Darlington to go across to Middlesbrough. We'd be on the 6:06. Like I'd have three cases of, like it got to the stage where in the end we got like the, you know, M&S do those quite trendy cans.
Yeah.
We'd have them. But when I was a bit younger, it would be like just bottles of beer. Getting on a train at 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Like, you know, now, obviously I don't dream of doing that. So the correlation definitely exists between boozing, going to football and taking drugs. There is definitely a link.
Mm.
But then the link exists between going to a rave, drinking and taking drugs. The link exists going to horse racing, taking drugs, drinking. Like, so the link
it's
exists
a society
throughout.
Problem then. It's not just a football issue.
Yes, it's definitely a societal issue. But it does seem to manifest itself. Maybe it isn't even...
It's definitely highlighted more in football than it is in boxing. Like, I've been to boxing events and I see people getting sort of pissed up and going crazy and fights in the stands. Everyone thinks there's bloody Rocky Balboa movies going on. it's crazy. But I think maybe it gets highlighted more because football is the biggest sport in this country, biggest sport in the world. So it's highlighted more.
Yeah, but also you've got a million people every weekend going to football.
So
you haven't got a million people every weekend going to rugby. You haven't got a million people every weekend going to horse racing, boxing. So maybe it's just exacerbated by the numbers.
Do you love sport like you used to as a kid?
Yeah, more.
More, really?
Yeah, because do you know what it's become for me? It's become the release. It's become my sanity. Football has become my anchor, particularly playing. So on a Friday morning, no matter what, and my wife has been incredibly supportive of this. Yeah. You know when I was in the trenches, when my kid was born, mate, I was all over the place. Like, we had a very difficult kid. She had colic. She was the most demanding baby to have ever been born. I didn't go to sleep for a year and it was stressful. I didn't have a career. I didn't have any money. I was living in a one bedroom flat, a mile in the sky. It was a disaster. My whole life was a disaster. No matter what, all of that, do you know what existed for me?
Down to Stamford Bridge.
Playing football. It was not so much going. I didn't go the Reddies. It was dear to go. I wasn't going then. I didn't have a job. But I would play on a Friday morning. And it was the anchor in my life. It was the sanity. It was just that one hour and a half period of a week where I didn't worry about what work I was going to do, where I didn't worry about where the money was coming from, where I didn't worry about my kid never sleeping. You know, it was just that one hour and a half.
Release. Yeah.
And that's remained. Like, playing football is definitely my release. It's also, you know, both of us have got this, but like, we've got a lot on our mind, a lot, haven't we? And this is applicable to everybody listening to this. Everybody listening to this, you know, the geezer driving along right now, who's got 3 kids, who, you know, everyone's got their stresses. You know when you're doing anything, you know when you're at your moment of work, so you're hosting a show on TalkSport and you're in the zone, you're probably still calculating everything that's going on. You're probably still thinking about that tax bill.
Yeah.
Still thinking about, is your mortgage paid? Still thinking about the flight that you need to book? Still thinking about everything. The one time that I don't do that, the one time that I just commit solely to what's going on in my life is when I play football. I'm not thinking about my tax bill.
That's crazy, actually, yeah, because mine's definitely not playing. I don't play football anymore, but definitely watching.
Yeah.
Literally, when Liverpool are on, that's it. Everything gets shut off. Yeah. It's focused and shut off. And it's weird, though. When I was a kid, though, I definitely got, I don't know, I used to love certain sports stars so much, it would affect me if they lost.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. Like, if Steve Davis lost a snooker.
It's an amazing
Davis
hero
lost
for you.
Snooker.
That's
amazing. It's done.
We need to orchestrate a moment where you meet him.
Yeah, oh,
now.
Yeah, it'd be weird, don't it, now? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, but I think the heroes that you have from when you were in your youth exist now. Like, if I meet John Spencer now,
mate, Mike
Gavin
Tyson
Peacock
was a hero, though, and I saw him. It's a funny story. Mike Tyson. So I'm angriest man in the world. There's no two ways about it. So I'm at the Canelo Bivol fight in Vegas. This is in May.
Was he there, yeah?
He was there.
Yes.
I was like, oh, Mike Tyson is there. So I'm trying to get to an angle. I'm lucky, I'm ringside, and I'm trying to do a video of Canelo walking to the ring. Everyone loves those videos, don't they? It's like, you know, if you didn't video it, you weren't there. So it's like that. Oh my God, Mike Tyson. He gave me a look of death for videoing him. I put my phone down immediately. He was so scary.
You didn't go over?
What?
You've made a massive error.
Couldn't go.
You've
no, he's on that side of the barrier. So
you have to go over.
No, 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 bruv. He gave me a look of death of though, don't you effing film me ever again.
You're complete. So, you've made a massive error here. There are certain things,
you don't,
right?
You don't go over to the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yes, you do. You there are certain things in life, certain
didn't
moments
see when he
in life.
Didn't you see when he hit that guy at the airplane?
Yeah, but that guy was being a clown and he was
you
right.
I thought I was being a clown for videoing him.
I think that in life, right, your heroes, you're very rarely going to come into contact with them. You know if Ruud Gullit is ever in...
Have you never met Ruud Gullit?
Never.
What?
Never. If I do, I met Mark Steen in Waitrose with Finchley Road.
Not the same, is it?
Mark Steen was a hero, though. Like, look, it's not the same as Ruud Gullit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still met Mark Steen, and I was a bit, oh my God. Like, genuinely, like, oh my God, yeah. That is Mark Steen.
Pocket rocket.
Yeah. But no, I think if you...
I should have gone over to him.
Yeah, you think you have to. No. I think you have to, in those situations. Is there anyone else from your youth that if you met? Steve Davis?
Steve Davis would be a big one.
Yeah. Anyone else?
What's my dad in it? Eric Bristow.
Mate, there's such funny Eric heroes Bristow. For you to have.
Yeah, but I think Michael Johnson would probably be like, ooh, that's Michael Johnson over there.
Really?
I just think, not just the way in which he destroyed people in the 400 metres, just his personality, just the way he was, a character. Jordan probably as well.
Yeah, Michael, there are certain people that if you have the opportunity to meet and
who,
have that
who
selfie.
Who would, like, if you saw them, like, oh my God.
Do you know who I would be there. Like that about, if I'm totally honest? And I don't even necessarily want to be like this, but he is just so iconic. David Beckham. Like, you know, if I met...
No, no, it's a good shout.
If
no,
I met David Beckham...
Why would you... Why is it... Why did you say you wouldn't want to be like that?
Because I'm a man who has principle and I still
I saw,
hold...
Mate, I saw the photo of you and Harry Kane. You have no principles.
I'm a man who... No, but I'm good at holding... My thing is, I can hold a grudge, right?
Yeah.
I haven't forgiven Beckham from 98 yet.
Really?
No, of course I have. But no, I would...
No, he's an icon.
He's an icon.
He's an icon.
If I met Bex, I would be starstruck. And there's not many people in the world
Tiger
that would be
Woods?
Like. Less so, but yes.
Really?
Less so. Yeah, it's less appealing to me.
Sport,
yeah. But yes, of course. There are certain icons of the game. Federer is part of that. One Djokovic is part of that.
No chance.
They are, the three
Djokovic.
Of them.
I wouldn't even walk past me. Yeah.
No.
You'd have to say hello to me first.
He's an amazing tennis player. Yeah. Amazing.
I mean, it's amazing. I just don't even look at him as an icon.
No?
Nah, not at all.
I disagree there. Less so for me. Yeah.
Tennis.
Fine. Less so. Yeah. But no, I think there are certain people that have to be in that iconic status. But a lot of it is from when I was young. Like, I don't think there's any player playing now, with the exception of Messi, Ronaldo, right?
I don't think I'd be starstruck.
I don't think I'd be starstruck.
No, I'll be honest with you.
No, hang on. If you met Lionel Messi, you would. You absolutely would. Think about the act. Like, we're doing this, just you and I sitting having a chat. The actual practicality.
Give me Ronaldinho or Ronaldo.
Or Ronaldinho, I would.
Give me a Ronaldinho or an R9 Ronaldo over Messi in terms of just like, oh my God, there's Ronaldo.
If you could do, you know, that dinner.
Okay, six.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be dinner, though. It can be anything you
how
want.
Many,
you
could, many, what are we saying?
No,
how
no,
many?
Do six. Do six, but it doesn't have to be dinner. It can be your dream. So it could be a pub, an old school pub, all having a Guinness. It could be anything you want. It could be a game of football.
Right, okay.
It could be anything you want. What's
so
the scenario?
Beachside, Mykonos.
Okay, love it, right.
It would be the
on
six.
The Kuiper
dead or alive, dead or alive.
Should we do dead or alive? Yeah, should we do dead or alive? Okay.
Dead or alive, Ollie.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, top of the table. He's number one. Michael Johnson, Jordan. What's that? I mean, is that three?
Mm. John Barnes. That's what I was about to say.
John Barnes.
I was amazed to not hear John
Barnes.
It's my
dad, isn't it? It's my dad, really.
No, but John Barnes, really. John Barnes, great footballer.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else you got?
Flojo. She might be in there. World record holder of 100 metres. I just want to ask her, did you cheat? I just want to ask her, because you've got a world record that no one can beat. Did you cheat?
Okay.
And Ronaldo, R9, probably. I'm just thinking that off head. It might change.
Right.
Go on. Eric Bristow's and a Steve Davis. If my dad was alive, he would be.
But Steve Davis is so funny. Because I'm misjudging this, right? But I feel like Steve Davis is fairly obtainable.
Yeah, like, I feel like I could literally
I think
just
we can
knock, yeah,
do that.
Go to Goldstein, yeah. Who knows these.
Surely we can get hold of Steve Davis to be on an episode of this.
Did you never watch Steve Davis?
No, absolutely, I get it.
Golden nugget.
I love It's such an irrational love from you. I really do love it.
And Eric Bristol was just so cool.
Yeah,
no, you know how cool he was throwing those darts.
Yeah,
like he would have a drink, turn around,
yeah, boozy,
boozy, yeah. Not a problem, bang.
Yeah,
yeah, effortless arrogance.
Yeah, loved I do.
Well, Steve Davis was the complete opposite. He was like a proper gentleman.
Yes,
a proper came professional. Yeah, yeah.
But and
yeah,
he is Stephen Hendry in this for you?
No, I actually got upset with Stephen Hendry.
Absolutely not.
You know
no.
why? Because he started beating Steve Davis. And it just annoyed
couldn't
me.
Couldn't have that.
Yeah, so I couldn't. He was just so... He was like Steve Davis, but younger.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't have
Overall, was he better? Was Hendry a better snooker player? Has he got...
He's won more world titles, I think. But then there's Ronnie that's now better than all of them. Ronnie O'Sullivan for me.
I can't believe he's still doing it.
Incredible, Ronnie O'Sullivan. He would be one, actually. He'd be in that list.
Do you Ronnie think Ronnie O'Sullivan, you know when people do, like, best athlete of all time ever?
Not athlete. That's the problem, innit?
He's as much of an athlete as Lewis Hamilton.
What?
He's as much...
No, yeah. And if you them cars, all the G-force you have to go through. I don't think a snooker player is. I don't. I can't give you.
He's definitely as much of an athlete as a darts player.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And Ronnie, to be fair, he runs marathons. He does loads of that stuff. So he's definitely an athlete. But I don't. Any sport where you're allowed, or not now anymore, but when you were allowed to drink and smoke and play, I can't give you athlete status.
Right. See, I always got an issue with the... You know, with the Formula One?
Yeah.
It's the car, isn't it?
It is the car.
It's the car.
It's the car now. Look, Lewis is doing crap this season.
It's the car.
There's the problem with the car. It's almost like jockeys, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I can't give Frankie Dettori any plaudits because he's always on the best horse.
He's the best horse.
Always on the best horse.
Yeah, you stick me on Stradivarius. I'd have been a good jockey.
Quickly,
actually.
You're six. Very quickly before we wrap.
Jose Mourinho has to be there.
Yeah, I didn't know we're going. That's cheating. I didn't know we're going managers.
Well, just athletes. Anybody.
Well, you should have said, that's not fair. I would have probably just said Mourinho.
Mourinho is so obviously on this list. Like,
well, you didn't say, I thought you said people that actually...
No, anybody.
Played football in 1970. I got Mourinho.
Mourinho is definitely on the list. Frank Lampard is definitely on the list. Also, do you know what it is? It's a game of poker. We're sitting around playing poker. You know, you said good you're shot. On a beach in Mickleham. We're having a poker game.
It's good. Mourinho is definitely a good poker. Federer then is a great, because he had a poker face.
Yeah, I'm going. I think Rud Hullet's on it.
Yeah, he'd be boring at poker.
Rud Hullet's definitely on boring. It. This is so difficult.
You know what the problem about, Rud Hullet is? Yeah, the kids won't remember how good he was.
Yeah, well,
the kids won't remember AC Milan, Holland,
that 88 team.
Frightening.
I saw it was Marco Van Basten's birthday yesterday. All them lot. You see the goal? Like, you know, I follow a lot of those football accounts. I tag you in some of them. I've like tagged the Matt Letizia.
Matt Letizia one.
But that account I love. It was Marco van Basten's birthday yesterday.
Well, did they show the goal in the Euros?
They showed like 10 goals. Bangers.
You forget that. Everyone just thinks of him for the 88 goal.
Yeah. AC Milan, banger, banger, banger. I'm going to do this on the next. I'm actually going to give this.
No, you can't put
I want to give this the due diligence that it deserves.
Mourinho, Lampard, three more. You can't put me on the spot.
No, I feel like I want to give this the real due diligence that it deserves and get this right. Mm. So it's a poker match. I don't want to make any mistakes here. Don't want to leave anyone off that needs to be there. I think David Beckham's invited.
Poker.
He wants to come. Ronaldinho.
Yeah, yeah. Like, did he play poker, didn't he? Was that Neymar?
Neymar plays poker. Neymar's good.
You got a photo with him, didn't you? You just like taking photo with famous people. You're such a kid, aren't you?
I love Neymar.
You love it, look. Or you love Neymar all of a sudden.
I love Neymar.
Harry Kane, Neymar. A photo with anyone you... anyone comes in the building.
You regret not doing it. I met Mike Tyson and you got scared. You missed an opportunity.
I was so scared I deleted the video.
Addy, I'm going to do this properly on Monday. And I'll tell you what, I'll let you think about yours again for the next episode. Let's really think about it.
We do. This episode could have gone on hours, by the way. You can tell that we love sport, not just football. What other sports do you... What's your number two sport, very quickly?
At the moment, NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've gone mad on the Jets.
Have you?
Yeah, I've genuinely started watching.
Do you know my number two sport?
Athletics.
Yeah.
Sprints.
Yeah. Three? What's my top three?
Boxing, three. Athletics, two. Football, one.
Yeah,
or maybe bad. Boxing, one. Football, two.
Athletics, one.
Really?
Boxing, two. Football, three.
But really, you've got three ones, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got one A,
you've got
one
three
one
ones.
Two.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is. I've enjoyed this one. Make sure you guys... leave a comment below. What are your favourite sports? What got you into sport as well? And if you can, dead or alive, what six sports stars would you have around for dinner, playing poker, or going to Mykonos and do what I do? You know, that's the best choice, isn't it, really? Poker or dinner. Mykonos, my friends. Make sure you leave a comment. Make sure you subscribe. As always, maybe you can download this podcast from wherever you get your podcast from.
Hold up.
Toolstation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room Podcast on TalkSport. Join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store or via the app.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.